1976. This is to be an interview with Emma J. Scott. At the tape-recorded interview for the Living History Project, Miss Scott has had a very interesting career. She'd been registrar at Drake University for many years. She is now retired and living at the Ramsey Memorial Home. Miss Scott, will you start by telling when you became registrar at Drake?
Well, if you want to, that I became after the after President Barrow was retiring. But he went, and they asked if I would consider it. So I began in 18, I believe.
In 1918.
And I was living at home with my father, and then my older sister had been a missionary in Japan, and as she came home, my father died in 25, and then the mission board didn't have enough to send her back. So she went to Sheridan to teach. She came home one Sunday and she died. And then that left my sister was a teacher in Des Moines. And we lived together, and then she died. I don't remember the exact date now.
It was after her death that you...
I lived alone a while.
Became connected with Drake?
No, no.
Oh, you were there.
I was connected with Drake, and she was a teacher at North High.
Oh, yes.
We lived together.
Mm-hmm.
And then she retired, and she...
Let's go back before your connection with Drake a little bit. Were you born in Des Moines?
My father was a student in medical school in Iowa City. I was born there. And we went to Maxwell, Iowa, in Story County, and we lived there till my mother died.
He was practicing medicine, was he?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
He graduated in Iowa City.
Oh, yes.
And then my mother died while we went down to Des Moines and began down there. And he died in 25, and his mother had come to live with us, and he needed help to take care of grandmother, so I went home. And then I went to the registrar's office in 18. Well,
where did you go to college?
Drake.
I see.
We moved to Des Moines.
From Maxwell?
All the whole family went to Drake.
Oh, yes.
Five of us.
Five children?
Yeah. I had one brother, and I had a sister who went to Japan, and a sister who married, and a sister who was taught in Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
And
where were you living in Des Moines at the time you went to Drake?
Same place, 1332-26.
1332.
13.
Mm-hmm.
And we.
And what did you? What course did you take at Drake?
Liberal arts, majored in Latin, German, English, that stuff. Well.
And how did you do some teaching then before you?
I had taught 2 years in Forest City, Iowa, and 2 years in Nevada, Iowa, of Story County. And then I went home to help with grandmother.
Yeah, that's when you did.
And then I stayed and went to Drake, work at Drake from 18 till 52, I believe, right at that, retired. And I
You retired in 1952 after having been there since 1918.
Mm-hmm. I think those are dates are correct. And
it's almost 35 years, isn't it? You probably were registrar longer than anybody else, weren't you?
Oh. You begin at the beginning and you go on, but somebody else goes in. I think they, mm-hmm. I don't know that I have the longest because the university is still open.
Yes. But when you became registrar, that was after you'd been teaching.
Yeah, I went after I taught 4 years after I graduated from college.
Yeah.
And then I went in and I did a little teaching at Rigg. But
little teaching at the college level.
Yeah.
Yes, I see. And what were you teaching there?
German.
Languages? Oh,
German.
You taught German, yeah. Was this during the war that you were teaching German?
No, the war.
The first war.
Ended in November 1918, didn't it?
Yes, November,
and
yeah.
Then I was there just following on.
Yeah, I thought maybe you were teaching there just before that. But
I
that's
thought
not true.
When
I just, since you were teaching German, it would have been kind of interesting, wouldn't it?
It had no connection.
Yes, I see.
But
well, now, what were your duties as registrar?
Take them in, check their credits, then make out the programs, and after the credits, and then give them a diploma and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It took them in and took them out.
Well, now, the tuition out of Drake now is about $1,375 a semester. I checked that, and the full cost there is about $2,000 a year.
It used to be about $90 a year.
Oh, yes. And
it's going up.
Yeah.
Everything is going up.
Yeah.
But everything that goes up someday will come down. I hope.
Right.
Did
the students have trouble raising money for tuition fees way back in that
period? Well, they went out and did work, and I worked in one of the offices when I was in school, write papers and so forth. And they were earnest of, I think the original education in college was preachers and teachers. And then later they began having mechanics and pharmacists and so forth. But Drake started out with a medical school. And then they moved to Iowa City later. I forgot the date there. But then the dental school and so forth. They hoped to be a bigger school. Well, then Bell was the president when I went into work. But he went to California, and
who were some of the other presidents when you were at Drake, Ms. Registrar? Was Morehouse, were you the...
There was a, I forget his name, but he came as president. He only lasted 2 years, and Morehouse took over. And Morehouse was there about 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died, and Mr. Harmon, Henry Harmon, was elected president. Well, after told me that he was getting another person as registrar,
mm-hmm.
but I would stay on as assistant. And then I worked until I retired in 72. And I
I suppose you became acquainted with an awful lot of students over those years.
You don't get so much acquainted when you're out working a bookkeeper.
Right.
You're not a personnel worker. You're a record keeper. You knew that from newspaper work.
Correct.
You didn't get out and talk to the public as much when you were in the newspaper work, as a reporter would. Well, anyway, I went home. I retired in 72, and I fell and broke my hip in 55. And I've been in a wheelchair since.
You seem to be in pretty good health, though.
Very
good health, yes.
Yeah. And then, one by one, there are others who are dying from the family and retiring. And so, the first war, and the second war, and the Japanese war, and the students went and come and so forth. It was a very...
Was there any, back in the period when you were a registrar, were there any student protest movements and demonstrations and that sort of thing?
Oh, no.
None at that time. Yeah.
No, we were not the state university. We were a church university.
Yes,
and I don't think there was any. But later, when they... we've moved the Japanese in, you know, in from the coast.
Right.
But they were admitted as students.
You had a number of the Nisei go to school at Drake at that time.
Big pardon?
These Japanese Americans from the West Coast were admitted as students at Drake,
oh,
you say. Yes, sir.
Well, you see,
some very outstanding students, I guess, weren't they?
My sister had gone as a missionary to Japan when she graduated, and she went out in 16. In the war, but that was before the Japanese war.
Yeah. Well, now, one interesting thing about your career is that you wrote the alma mater song.
Yes, the Dr. Arlene Cowper Music Department, you remember him?
Dr. Cowper. Yes.
Not Dr., he's just Holmes Cowper. He's a very good vocalist, and he was teaching voice. He asked me to write a hymn. He said, the ears to the man where the athletic songs are not suitable for formal occasion.
Yes, he didn't want the athletic songs sung at commencements and baccalaureates.
Well, they were not a formal,
no.
Maybe
yes.
A football game and so forth. So he asked me to write, and I wrote the words, Clifford Bloom wrote the music.
Mm-hmm. You wrote the, when was this?
About
1921. And Clifford Bloom, he was the music critic and a voice soloist.
On the faculty then.
Yes, and he wrote the music and you wrote the words.
Yes.
You remember any of the words?
Oh, yes. I could say, I think I'm ever commencement yet.
Yes. I found an old commencement program from 1935 at the time Herbert Hoover made a talk.
I think there was a copyright about 1921.
I see. Well, I know that on the back of that commencement program, the words to the song were printed.
Yeah, and that they're still in every commencement, yeah. But it's a morally, a football game. You have here, man who wears a D, so forth. But the formal, where they got from the gowns and then processional is the ham, and
see, that starts out with broad and firm foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our fathers built for great
and loyal veneration, our
way
today
we
take to honor our adversity.
In all she strives
to
do,
fame and wealth attend her, our dear old white and blue. Well, then, asked me if I would write the second verse. I wrote it then.
Yeah.
And
did you do any other writing? Songs or other things?
Oh, just nonsense. When they wanted a party and a verse and so on, I wasn't the poet.
Oh, yeah.
My,
you wasn't a poet, but you wrote some very fine things. But you wrote it for the fun of it. Was that it?
I was a Latin student. I got lots of words there. Veneration, adoration, and adoration. It's a formal style of formal language.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't an... It's, you know, stand up and sing. Oh, like you would in church.
Yeah, and it's still being sung at commencement exercises, yeah.
Right.
What were some of the most significant changes in your lifetime at Drake or elsewhere? And the things that you recall most vividly?
I don't know quite how it. They came to college to get an education. Now they come to college to make a living. Do you get that?
Yes, you're a believer in the liberal arts education of the kind
and
you got.
And the preachers came to get a background, and nowadays you have to raise the money, so they cut off the Bible college. But they are trying to get originally education was for the preachers and the teachers in the colonial times. And they came on west. My grandfather was on the first faculty of Drake.
Oh.
He taught Greek and Latin.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was a teacher, and my father was a doctor. So we were not after, I wouldn't say the doctors aren't after it now, but they were a profession though.
Yeah.
Now they can make a hospital out. But I don't know that I have anything that's significant to recall.
Well, this is very interesting. Now, do you think that there's talk now about whether children learn to read and write and spell as well as they used to? Do you have any feeling about that?
I didn't teach in the primary.
That's right, you didn't teach.
I was at high school only.
Mm-hmm.
But
when you taught in high school, you thought the students had pretty good background in.
They had. Now they. And the golden rule, reading and writing, this was the thing of a hickory stick. The whole background is school, education. Now if Johnny can cut out a day and go out hunting, but... And
you think it's a little too permissive now, is that it?
Well...
Let the children...
Now they...
And college students, too.
My folks felt that everybody should... get all the education they could. And now they go out to work and make more money for very little education. A nurse nowadays isn't a 5-year student. She's maybe had an area college or something of that sort. But the short course, the short pharmacy course, the short... Money, who's got the money?
What have been your... activities since your retirement, have you?
I was broken my hip. I didn't have any.
Right.
I couldn't go.
But you did have some health problems as a child, didn't you say you had polio?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
But you were always.
My help was more or less of taking care of other people.
Yeah.
But I am aware of a good many diseases and a good many things that are wrong, but I was just kind of interested in that phase of things, health and education, and when they hand me a pill, I want to know what it is.
Yeah.
I want to know who told me so.
Did you enjoy your work as registrar?
Well, yes and no. I was simply working. Mm-hmm. I was doing an educational thing, and I was trying to make good. But that was not for fun. I was simply making a respectable
Was that. Were there problems collecting from students in those days?
Not so much as there were for money.
No.
The student didn't have enough money, or they couldn't come to school. But they didn't have, they had a few jolly times. But
they didn't have as many scholarships Ross, and programs.
Professor Ross, I think, brought football to Drake, and he was quite a scientist. Mm-hmm. And then Latin and Greek, mathematics. Then Harley Wilhelm, he's now in Ames, was one of the men who worked on the atomic bomb.
Yes, he was a Drake graduate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was
and
a scientist.
And he married a girl that worked in the office. They were, and so he's now at Ames, I believe.
Now, has there been any changes in the status of women that you think were significant? I mean, were there as many women going to college and in careers when you were a career woman as there are now?
I think that that's about a matter of individual. Some women couldn't wait to get married.
Yeah.
Some men had to have a man, had to get a family. But the men in my day were careers in an education and a career. Dr. Nell Noble, Dr. was a, and the feeling of.
Were, in that career, earlier period, were women as much interested in politics, for example, as they are now?
No. My mother was a teacher. She taught music, she taught language. But she didn't go. My father was a doctor.
Yes.
We were church people.
Mm-hmm.
But
the church has always meant a great deal to you then, hadn't it?
Well, yes. It's very respectful.
Yes.
But I'm yes, it goes back to the pilgrims and all, and it's very unreal. But we didn't raise tobacco. The Virginia people maybe started with a cigarette habit. My people didn't drink, they didn't smoke, they didn't swear, and they went to church, and they helped the poor.
Those were the good old days.
I don't know that they're any better, because now they have so many kids around that you have to feed. You got to get out and get something to do. But they are.
What do you think lies ahead? Or can anybody?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think what goes up comes down. I don't know if they'll bust up or not. But I took some nice trips on the train. But you can't go anywhere with a train now.
Right.
They've shipped it for a lot of freight stuff.
Mm.
And one of the women said this morning, raining, I loved it. And she said, oh, my children wanted to go hunting. And I said, where would they hunt? And what would be hunting? Oh, she said, rabbits.
Mm.
Well, now, if your children are raised to hunt rabbits on Washington's birthday, nothing else but to go out and hunt rabbits. The whole background of George Washington standing All you got left is rabbits and honey. I don't know whether you've got living history or whether you've got a lot of youngsters. Yeah. And now the whole, of course now the colored people are in their ascendance. But when they began saying, you've got to have as many black people in your offices as you have white. You can't even find enough people who have education to fit the office. But you've got to get one more for them. Well, I think that they should begin to show their value, their work as a... Now this place is staffed with a lot of colored people, and they are to mankind is service. And if you don't have anything to give, except to give and get, you're not worthy of it. Mm-hmm. But I think that...
You believe that everyone should try to make a contribution to mankind the way they live?
Well, I would hate to be a sucker or a grabber all my life.
Right.
If I couldn't serve, I would hate to be asking. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I said I've lost most of my religion since I've been around, but I don't know what the Lord thinks of all this anyway. But I don't think it's, we should give and we should love one another, and God is love. I don't think we're going to heaven and live with the feathered angels, but we better get ready. I think of service and career, and
God, you've had a long life in which you have had a remarkable career and have contributed a great deal in the way of service. It's been a pleasure to interview you.